Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for a new and better covenant. We thank you, Lord, for fellowship that is in Christ Jesus, for the opportunity to worship you, for the opportunity to draw closer to you, for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom and to learn to accelerate the kingdom of God around us, not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of the whole world that you sent us into. So we thank you and praise you and ask your word, my words to be your words this morning, for them to penetrate our hearts and transform us by the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a tiny review of for Wednesday night, because of the fact that if we are going to stand upright on our feet in our walk of faith, and if we are going to, as we have been taking a route of establishing our faith, you know, it really is. As I was reading in Timothy, I'm reminded of this, that Paul was writing to Timothy, and he told Timothy, he said, now, keep right at it, because the time will come when they won't listen to you. Now, Paul was talking to Timothy. He wasn't talking to Timothy about a time a gazillion years away. He was warning Timothy that, Timothy, you're going to preach this word, and there'll come a time when they're just too hard-hearted to receive it. There'll come a time when they're so set in their ways and they're so much in love with themselves that they just won't walk in it. But Timothy, you be strong, old Timothy. You just keep it up, because the word is good. It's powerful. It's profitable. In verse 11, and I was trying to find this on Wednesday night, because I had been reading all of this in a yearly Bible instead of in my regular Bible, I kept looking for it in 2 Timothy, but actually it was in 1 Timothy toward the end, where he said, you, O man of God, flee these things. Okay? And you pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness and fight the good fight of faith. Now that's in 6:11. Now, previous to that in 6, and we're going to go there because if you read the Bible, you're going to say, well, yes, he was saying flee these things, because he was talking about earlier in chapter 6 about the fact that the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say money was, said the love of money was the root of all evil. And that if people love money more than they love God, it's going to be a problem. And he said, you tell the rich people not to be high-minded about it, but just to be wise with their riches, to do good things with them. How many of you with more riches will do good things with them? For others, not just yourself. You know? I mean, if that's why we want them, then we will do well with them. If the top of our list for more riches involves what I'm going to do for myself, this is what I will do, I think I will do that, and then somewhere down the line we say, oh yes, and I would help somebody that's poor, we don't have it lined up right. Okay? He said, advise them to be wise. Now that doesn't mean that we say, okay Lord, here's the deal. Give me $1 million, I'll spend the first million on everybody else, and then give me more. Although that's not a bad plan. But still, what he's saying is be wise with what you have. In other words, what we have to do is we have to prove that we can be wise with what we do have before we'll have more to do that. We went up to see Jerry yesterday, and Jerry in the hospital has developed a habit of, and he takes collections. His parents, he cleans out their pockets. Anything they've got, he's got this bag of money, you know. The boy's got an anointing on him. They just don't know what it's about. I'm not much at taking collections, but he's good at taking their collections from them. He understands that he's more important to them than what's in their pockets. And so he asks them, and they agree with him that that's the case. You know, it's not a huge deal. I imagine that after he does it a couple of times, you just don't carry as much in your pockets. He didn't know why Grandma and Grandpa didn't have anything in their pockets. My change ends up elsewhere. I didn't have that. Thank God he didn't say, check your billfold. I had a problem because I do have a little something there. But anyway, so this was where he was talking to that, and he said that, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. He wasn't telling him to stay away from riches, because obviously, if the Bible tells us that you know, if you plant a harvest, you ought to get the first fruit of it. That you ought to have a part of that. But he's just saying be wise in that. So he told Timothy what to pursue: righteousness or rightness, goodness. Pursue those things. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue patience and gentleness. Pursue those things, because in those things are a great reward. Godliness with contentment is a great reward. Those are the things that can make us content. Money does not make a person content. It just doesn't. It just does not. It doesn't matter how much money I have in my billfold. I don't go, oh, hallelujah, I got enough in my billfold today. Ah, make me feel good, I got some money in my billfold. Doesn't do it. Go online and check the bank account online. I just am not content because there's money in the bank. Oh, and I've got high credit limits on my credit cards. I don't go, oh man, I feel good because I got high limits on my credit cards. You know, I mean, honestly, I sometimes wonder what they're thinking, giving me that kind of limits on my credit cards. Well, they're thinking that I always pay my bill, so that no matter how much gets on that card, I'll pay my bill. Well, I got news for them. If I go to the limits, it's going to stretch me a little to pay my bill. But I'm not going to go to the limits. But I don't, oh man, I'm so glad. Oh yeah, now I'm content. I got American Express. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now I feel better. Isn't that just nonsense? But that is what makes some people, you know. For some people, it's like, well, at least I got my plastic. You know, I'm not knocking that. I mean, that's up to people. But it's not where my contentment, it's not where our contentment should come from. Now, that's just a tidbit, okay? Wednesday, we're coming to the final conclusion of all things is that God's not the problem. Folks, God's not the problem. Never, ever, ever, never, never is God the problem. As long as we think that God might be the problem, how are we going to ever be content? Yesterday when I was praying for these friends and the husband was perfectly willing to leave God out of the problem, but the wife was saying, but you know, it might be. And so finally I said, what terrible sin have you committed that God would want you to have this disease? Well, God's forgiven me for all my sin. Okay, so then, for what reason would He want you to have this terrible disease? Okay, which one of your grandchildren would you put this terrible disease on? Well, none of them. Okay, so don't blame God anymore, okay? Oh, Roger, you're so sweet. She thought that was sweet. I was telling her the truth. Well, you know, the thing is, God's not the problem. How often, honestly, how are Christians, for goodness sake, saying, well, you know, they'll spend more time figuring out why God might want this bad thing than they will saying, you know, son, this just isn't God. This isn't the character of God. This isn't the personality of God. This isn't what God has promised. Rather than fighting the good fight of faith, they fight the good fight of figuring out, giving God a little latitude. Giving God the opportunity to have a little bit of a bad day. Giving God the opportunity to teach us a lesson the hard way. You know? Rachel, what thing could happen to you that I would say, oh, I'm glad something terrible happened to you? No. I would never say, boy, I'm glad something bad happened to you. Boy, I hope something bad happens to Rachel. Even if she disobeys me, I don't say, boy, Vicki, I sure hope something bad happens to her, do I? I don't hope something bad, you know, I've been delivered of this. There was a long time ago, you know, when I would buy into that thing of, well, you know, if God has to drop a piano on their head to teach them, then let God drop a piano on their head. I have been delivered from that. I don't want that to happen to anybody. Because that does not win people to the Lord. The kingdom of God is what wins people to the Lord. I've read the Old Testament a lot of times. I've read the New Testament a lot of times. I've read them together a lot of times. I'll read them again a lot of times. And in the Old Testament, I see all the things that the Lord did in working with Israel. And I see all the things that Israel did to get the Lord to work with them. And then I see Jesus. And I don't see any place where Jesus is saying that He's going to do those things. He said, those things were written so you could learn from them. Amen. For you to say, I'm glad I didn't live then. And for you to say, you know, now that I've found Him, why not serve Him? Why not live according to His principles? Because these are the things that He has pointed out to us. So why don't I just come to Him? He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He didn't put any sort of conditions on that, except for that by the time you're weak and you're heavy laden, if you'll come to Me, I'll give you rest. Did He say you have to be weary? Did you have to be heavy laden? Was there any suggestion that we shouldn't come until we are weary and heavy laden? No. But He does say, come to Me, you who are weary and heavy laden. You know, sometimes people are weary and heavy laden, and they have sort of convinced themselves that they should have come to God before. And since they haven't come to Him before, why should He take them now? But He says, come unto Me all. All. He doesn't say, all you who are born again and full of the Holy Spirit and do everything the way that I do them. He said, come unto Me all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Everybody here should know that. And you should know that everybody out there has the same invitation. The Jew would not be lying to them one little bit to say to them, God will give you rest. That's the truth. He'll give them rest. Not because they do anything, just that they come. Just that they ask. Ask and you'll receive. There's nothing wrong with that. I was speaking with someone this week and they were talking about the fact that, you know, I mean, it's a fact what he was talking about. He was talking about, and he was saying that, well, you know, we got a whole lot of people who are telling how good God is and we're not telling them that they have to repent. Well, yeah. My experience messes me up. Okay? My experience was is that meeting the Lord, coming to an understanding of the Lord, nobody had to tell me to repent. I was really, really sorry. I was really, really aware of my own unrighteousness. I was really aware that whatever God said was necessary to be in His kingdom, I would be more than happy to do. My problem was, to begin with, I couldn't quite believe it could be that simple. And God was a perfect gentleman in allowing me to work through that. He didn't call me stupid. He laughed at me a lot, I'm sure. He still laughs at me. We have a good time. I have to tell you, I had to sober up just a little bit to get here this morning because writing this devotional, I walked into the bathroom and I said, Roger, you're drunk. Just thinking about how He just has come to me. Just thinking about the peace that He offers. You know, it's a fact. The peace that comes upon us when we give our life to Him is a high that far surpasses any high that's found in sin. You know, the problem for some people is, now don't take this wrong, but the problem for some people is they never got high. So they don't look to get high with Jesus either. Don't look to allow Him to touch them and intoxicate them with His presence. Because they were pretty good before. I was amazed yesterday when I'm talking to these people and I said, what terrible thing did you do? And I mean, I sort of started wondering if we didn't need to talk about things. Well, He's forgiven us for everything. I thought, well, I can't imagine you two people ever doing anything that would be, you know, that terrible. They were just wonderful folks, but maybe there was a shady side before I met them, you know. But it's like, He's forgiven us for everything. Yes, He has. He has. He has forgiven you. Absolutely no doubt about it. That's just how good He is. Just like that, He forgives. Just like that. But before He ever forgives, He puts out a blanket invitation, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Folks, Hosanna can't give anybody rest. We can bring them into His presence, but we aren't the answer. There is no church, there's no ministry, there's no anyone but Jesus Christ that is the answer. He's the only one that can give people rest. And so it's okay if He says to people, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. There was a reason that He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. Who are we supposed to lift up? What will give us rest? Lifting up Jesus. Coming unto Jesus. Turning to Jesus. In any and all circumstance. I know it as well as I know my own name. I know it better than I know my own name. I know it better than I know my wife. I know it better than I know my children. I know it better than I know my dogs. I know it better than I know anything. That if I will come to Him, He will give me rest. When my attitude stinks, if I come to Him, He'll give me rest. When my health is attacked, if I come to Him, He'll give me rest. If I have a financial circumstance, if I come to Him, He'll give me rest. I know, no matter what it is, that if I will just come to Him, He'll give me rest. Last night, Vicki and I were listening to a message and he was talking. A point that he made, he's made lots of good points, but one point was, he said, you know, the good thing is that God thought before He spoke. He didn't have to go any further. I caught that. That's right. I should think before I spoke. How many times have you thought I should have thought before I spoke? Twice. Darn, you're honest. He only bid one to begin with, but He put up the second finger after that. I don't have enough fingers. They look like an old game of up down the river. Come to me, Jesus said. I'll give you rest. When we settle all of these things in our hearts and we become determined to enter into His rest, and we put all of our confidence in Him, and we make sure we keep our appointment. Our appointment is from Him. Our appointment is to righteousness. Our appointment is to truth. Our appointment is to peace. Our appointment is to joy. Our appointment is to life and an abundant life. And we remember those kind of things. And when we come to that place where we are determined, you know, I am just going to stand on Jesus Christ. Just Him. Nothing else. The one song that says, so take me as you find me. And I sing that, you took me as you found me. All my fears and failures. And then fill my life again. How many of you need your life filled again? And again. And again. And again. And again. You should, because you should be pouring out the life of the Lord that's in you. So you should need to have, you know, you should be tethered to the Lord with a continual flow. You should be getting an IV from the Lord. When I was thinking about the fact of, wow, Lord, I just got buzzed up. I was thinking, you know, addicts have no trouble figuring out what they need next. It's a fix. That's what we need more than anything, is a fix of Jesus. A touch of Jesus. It's our need for a fix that makes us ornery. It's a need for a fix that makes us speak out of turn. It's a need for a fix that makes us doubt and you know, a little unruly. It's a need for that. Ah, the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. That's what we need. And when we know that better than we know our own name, better than we know anything else, that all I need right now is Jesus. And then we know, well, that's not a problem. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll arrest your stinking thinking and haul it off where it belongs. Come to me and I'll arrest this problem. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Well, you know what happens when you decide to come to Jesus? Before you ever get there, just the decision has begun to relieve the pressure. It's begun to relieve the doubt, begun to relieve the fear. He's the only thing that can fix it. He's the only thing. Just come to me. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he told Timothy about the things that he'd gone through, but he pointed out, God delivered me out of all of them. Glory to God, He delivered me out of all of them. He saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come to me, He said. You've got a friend. Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You've got a friend. I can't say you've got a friend without thinking about the prophetic words of James Taylor's song. Ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can be so strange? They'll hurt you, desert you, but you just take your current right. Take control if you let them, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Can you imagine Jesus singing to you, saying, you just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I come running to see you again. Yeah. All you gotta do is call, and I'll be there. You've got a friend. That's the Lord singing to you.
It does.
That's the Lord singing to you. And you got a friend. Come unto me. You who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Folks, let's enter into that rest. Let's enter into that rest and let's refuse to leave it. Let's refuse to leave it. Let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's stand. And when we've done everything to stand, stand. You don't have to worry about you. You just need to come unto Jesus. He can take care of it. See, the enemy wants you to worry about you. The enemy wants you to figure that nobody else cares. You know, nobody cares for you like you do. But there's a song that says, nobody cares for me like Jesus. Nobody else is the answer. The Lord is the answer. But there's Jesus in people that bring the answers sometimes. We have to go to Jesus. He said, if you'll just come, I'll give you rest. I have to mention this because God brought it to my mind, you know. And Jim, this is your second time here, so you can get into the message. But you see, when I was in college, Jim's family fed me. He told me his dad ran the food service at Northern, and so his family fed me. And I was thinking, well, I hope I get to feed Jim something. The word of the Lord. And dinner, after a bit, we're all going to feed that. I hope that what we all do is we take what the Lord pours into us and we give it to somebody else. God wants to give everybody rest. If we're so caught up in the rest of the Lord, if we're caught up in the peace of God, guess what? Your presence will serve people the Lord. The peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the confidence that only God can give. You will exude the presence of the Lord. It will flow into you and overflow out of you. He's an awesome God. Lift Jesus higher. Let Him fly in the sky. Let the whole world know that the King is in residence here. Come unto me, you who are weak and leper. Heavy laden, Jesus said, I'll give you rest. Enjoy His presence continually, I ask. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless the food and the fellowship that follows. In Jesus' name. Amen.